My name is Lewis Shulman, my name is David McGill. I'm the Assistant County Manager for Transylvania County. And one of my responsibilities is emergency services, which includes fire, rescue, EMS, working with those departments. We also have with us tonight, Paige Lamell, is the Commissioner for Transylvania County. And she's here. And we've got some of our emergency services staff, which I didn't recognize at the last meeting, but I should. But these guys are the ones that work with our volunteer fire and rescue departments to make it happen. They do a great job. We appreciate them. Basically, what we're going to do tonight is summarize the current method for providing fire and rescue services. We're going to summarize current method for funding fire and rescue services. We do want to clarify something, and that is that we're not looking at starting a county fire department. That's not what we're looking to do. We're basically just looking at the funding method. How do we fund the system that we currently have in place? We're also going to discuss the funding options that are available to our commissioners, because when they look how they're going to fund, they've got to make sure they follow state law, and there are some state statutes that limit what they can do. And then we're going to answer questions. And the way we do that is, you got cards when you came in, and one of those cards is for questions. If you have a question, just kind of jot that question down as I'm talking. This really doesn't last very long. And at the end of that, we'll take up those cards and I'll answer those questions. You're welcome to write your name on it if you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. And then what we do with those is we are tabulating all the, where you see it, we're tabulating all the questions that we get, and we'll make sure the commissioners get all of those. And so that's a good way to make sure they get your question. Also, the other card is for comments. Not a question, you just want to make a comment to the commissioners. You put it on that card and we'll make sure it gets on that list. So how does it work? Our current method for providing fire and rescue services, first of all, a service district, when you hear the term service district, a service district is essentially a tax district. It's a special tax district that in the statutes allows commissioners to set them up in order to fund a specific purpose, all right? In the statute, it's 153A. In the statute, it basically lists, there's about 13 items. Two of those items, one says fire protection, one says ambulance and rescue. And so if the commissioners, it's one of the options. So when you're talking about a service district, just keep in mind, it's a tax district when we say service district, all right? County, the way we currently do it is the county contracts with independent, private, nonprofit fire departments to provide fire and rescue services within those service districts. Now, one thing that's important to note is, for the most part, a service district and what's called a response district, which is where the fire department responds to, is basically contiguous, the lines are. However, in the Sylvan Valley 2 district, we have it broken up, that service district, into three different response districts. So we contract with three fire departments to provide fire protection within that one service district. So it's not totally always the same. In Transylvania County, we currently have 8 service districts. All right, and we contract with fire departments to provide fire protection in those districts. All right, each volunteer fire department is a separate private nonprofit organization. It's important to note, they're not county departments like EMS. If you see the EMS truck come out, that blue and white EMS truck, that's actually a department of the county. Fire departments are not. They're private nonprofits, and they have a contract with the county to provide certain services within that district. All right. Some fire departments have other funding in addition to what the fire tax is. A good example of that is Cedar Mountain, for example. Cedar Mountain contracts with Transylvania County to provide fire protection in the Cedar Mountain Fire District, but they also contract with Greenville County, South Carolina, to provide fire protection in the Greenville County, South Carolina District. So they have other funding methods. This is basically what our districts look like. This is the map where we show our district. Right here is the North Transylvania Fire District, Little River, Cedar Mountain, Thomas D., Brosman, Lake Tossaway, Balsam Grove. And then you can see all this other area that's in here that's dashed is federal lands, government land. But we still have to provide some services in those areas. The contract between the fire department basically outlines some minimum standards. When you read that contract, it outlines just basic minimum standards. All right, some fire departments provide in excess of what that minimum standard is, but all of them are currently providing the minimum contractual arrangement standard. Fire departments respond to requests for services that are dispatched to our 911 service. So if you need your fire department, you dial 911. They'll see where the call's coming from and dispatch the appropriate fire department. All right, these include automatic mutual aid dispatches. All right, and what that means is when a fire is dispatched in North Transylvania's district, the chief has already sat down, he's got dispatch protocols, and those dispatch protocols say not only are we getting a response from North Transylvania, we're getting a response from Little River, 792 Brevard, maybe Mills River. So those automatic mutual aid are very important to the fire departments because it's important to know that they're important for their operations and it's important for their rating. They couldn't get the fire insurance rating, which is different than having to do with the district, but the fire insurance rating, they couldn't get that without those mutual aid response districts. It's very important. All right, again, so that means while they are independent, as I mentioned earlier, they're all private, nonprofit, independent. They can't operate autonomously. They need each other to operate. Our departments need to work with each other. Fire department insurance rating and operational capabilities are dependent on the automatic mutual aid agreements. That's important to note. In addition, fire protection, fire departments provide medical, first response, and rescue. So they just don't do fire. They do, if an EMS call gets dispatched in the Sylvan Valley 2 district, if it's in the response area for North Transylvania, they dispatch EMS and North Transylvania. All right, so they provide medical first response. They also provide rescue. Now, the level of rescue in each district is a little bit different. Some fire departments have dive team. Some fire departments have swift water rescue. You know, so the level of rescue protection is a little bit different in what they offer. And in addition, in medical first response, it can be a little bit different. Some of them have quite a few certified EMTs. Some of them respond primarily medical first responders. So there's a little bit of variation between departments. All but one department currently has some form of paid staffing. All right, and that varies between the fire departments. We have some that have 24/7, one person 24/7, and then a day person. We have some that work two part-timers 5 days a week. So they have varying levels of paid staffing at this point. Now, the funding method. Fire departments have a board of directors, all right? Those board of directors are responsible for that department. And so annually, the county sends out its annual budget package. It's consistent across the board for all the fire departments. They complete their budget package, and that budget package is submitted to the county staff for review. County staff will review that budget, go to those departments, ask questions, meet with departments if necessary, review those budget requests, and then submit that budget to the commissioners for approval during the budget process. All right. Once that happens, the Board of Commissioners will review that budget. During the overall county budget process, the commissioners review all the fire department budgets. If they have additional questions of staff, they ask it. If they need us to go back and get additional information, we do. But ultimately, during that budget process, the commissioners approve the fire department budgets. They say, yep, this is how much we're going to approve for Conestoga Fire Department this year. This is how much we're approving for City Mountain Fire Department this year. And it's, again, based on the budget forms, the budget submissions from the fire departments, and the needs that they describe. Once the budget process is approved, then the commissioners have to decide how are we going to fund what we just approved. All right, and it's very important to keep these in order. We go through the budget process, and then at the end of the budget process, the commissioner would say, this is what we've approved budget-wise for each department. Now, how are we going to fund that? How are we going to raise the money to pay those fire departments? And the way they do that is this. They can set we have the service district, and they can set a rate within each district to fund those fire departments. All right? That's one option. This year, what they did, once they approved all the budgets, they set all the fire department rates at 5.5 cents, and they pulled funds from basically the county's savings account to fund the balance of what they had approved during the budget process. So this year was a combination of fire tax rates and savings is what how the county funded them. The responsibility for determining the appropriate department funding and method used statutorily rests with the commissioners. How they fund, how much they fund, it's their responsibility. In recent years, there's been some significant disparity in fire tax rate across the county. And so that got the commissioners have been talking about, that varying levels of rate, and the next slide we'll talk about exactly what that looks like. So, if you look back in 2018, we had fire tax rates ranging from 4.79 cents per 100 valuation all the way to 13.78 cents. That's what I'm talking about, disparity. So if you lived in one district, you paid 4.79. If you live in the other district, you paid 13.78 cents per 100. In 2019, what you'll see is that disparity was 5.44 cents all the way to 14 cents. Key point with this one here, this particular year, is that that 14 cents doesn't include the county granting North Transylvania $102,112 out of the general fund budget. So that's not included in the 14 cents. Had we funded it all out of the fire tax, the tax rate would have been 23.39 cents for North Transylvania's district. So you can see how quick it can grow. The other thing to point out with this, things that I'm looking at when I see these things, if you look, the higher tax rate does not consistently go with the higher budget. It's usually the opposite way around. It's usually the lower tax rate goes with the higher budget because it's driven by property valuation a lot of times. So that's one of the key reasons for that. All right, another important thing to note in this particular scenario right here, a citizen that lives in one district could be paying four times the amount of fire tax for the same value of home as somebody living in another district. All right. Now, here's the 2020 budget. This is what it looks like this year. When the commissioners took all the budget forms in, they approved the budgets, and right here are the budgets they approved. This is what they approved for the fire departments. All right, now this is just funds coming from fire tax. North Transylvania had additional donations in addition to that. Same thing with Balsam Grove, same thing with Cedar Mountain. Keep in mind, I said not only do they get Transylvania County tax dollars, but they also get funds from Greenville. So their total overall budget's more than that for those departments, but this is what was funded by the county from fire tax, all right? The county set all the rates at 5.5 cents, all right? And so when they did that, basically, they had to come up with how are we gonna fund the deficit, because if you set all the rates at 5.5 cents, that's not gonna generate enough money in each district to pay for fire protection. So what they did is they paid from fund balance, from savings, this amount of money to each department. So you can see Rodsman got $409,359 from fund balance. North Transylvania got $201,437 from fund balance this year. All right. If the commissioners had not done that, if they had just said, nope, we're going to fund all the fire departments strictly from the fire tax. We're not going to fund any money from general fund, but each of the eight fire departments will be funded from the fire tax. You would have had a rate of, it would have been 15.89 cents more for a rate of 21.39 cents in North Transylvania. In Rosman, instead of being 5.5 cents, we would have had to add 8.81 cents to it for a rate of 14.31 cents in that particular district. So you can see how funding them from strictly the fire tax rate creates quite a disparity in what someone might pay. What's also important to note is this method here is not sustainable. The commissioners, the county doesn't have a savings account that they can continue to pull money from to subsidize fire protection. So funding from savings is not sustainable. So under the current method, prior to the commissioner setting the rate at 5.5 cents, if you owned a home in District A and your tax rate was 21.39 cents on a $200,000 house, you paid $427.80. But if you lived in District B, which might be your neighbor, you had a tax rate of 5.38 cents, property valuation of $200,000 on your house, same property valuation, you actually only paid $107.60 in fire taxes. So that shows a disparity in the amount of money a citizen might pay depending on which one they live in. And again, this was based on the 2020 valuation, all right? Again, because the way they come up with that tax rate is it's based on three pieces of information. We need to know the property valuation within that district. We got to know the budget. Commissioners have to approve a budget. Then they got to estimate a collection rate. They work with the tax office to do that. And they take those three pieces of information and put those together to come up with what the rate would have to be to collect the budget that they approved. All right? Now, what are the funding options for the commissioners? Just so you know, it's important to know. All right, the commissioners could fund all the fire stuff out of the general fund budget. They could set all the fire tax rate at zero, and once they approve the budgets, set the ad valorem tax, your general property tax, at an amount to collect enough money to pay for all fire protection services as well. That's one option that they have. All right, there's one issue with that. The issue with that is, you got folks that live in the city of Brevard that already pay city taxes, and part of their city taxes go to support fire protection. So in that method, there could be a concern that those citizens might be paying fire taxes twice. They're paying it to the county and they're paying it to the city. So that's a little bit something that the commissioners have to consider. They can still do it, but they gotta consider that. That's something they gotta think about. You can set up special property tax districts. You can have what's called a rural fire protection district, which is established under General Statute 60, Chapter 69. The issue with that one is, you gotta have 35% of the people live within your district, sign a petition to go to a referendum, and then it goes to a referendum, and if it's voted in, then you have a rural fire protection district. There's some structural differences there between it and a service district. A service district is established under General Statute 153A. They're easier to establish because it doesn't require a referendum, all right? Commissioners can just establish those by resolution. Now they have to go through the process that's outlined in 153A. They gotta have a public hearing, they gotta go through the process, but they can establish them without having a referendum. In the end, they're both the same in the end though, because once the budgets are submitted and the commissioners approve them, they set the rate within either of those two different districts to fund fire protection, or they can set the rates at zero and fund them out of that, or they can do a combination of these two things. But that's basically their options under the statute. Some folks ask about fees in North Carolina. What we can do with fees is fairly limited. So this is pretty much the options for how they can fund fire protection. All right. Now, one of the things that's being considered is a countywide service district. Now, again, keep in mind, a service district is nothing but a special tax district, all right? And in this particular case, it would be to provide fire, and if you go strictly by the statute, ambulance and rescue. Now, that doesn't mean we're paying for, or they would be paying for EMS out of it. That's just what the statute says. It says ambulance and rescue. But they have to put that down if they want to use it to pay for rescue, all right? Established under 153A301 is what they're talking about establishing it under, all right? And basically what we have to do is we have to identify the proposed district. And in doing that, we have to talk to, in the statute it says that a municipality, a corporate limit, cannot be included unless that board that oversees that corporate limit requests by resolution to be included. And so we've asked that question of Brevard, and we asked that question of Rosman. We've got the answer from Rosman, and Brevard's supposed to get me the answer this week sometime. So I'm waiting to hear from Brevard. All right. If the commissioners move to establish a countywide service district and we use the numbers from the current fiscal year that we're in, and I'll go back. if we use these numbers, these budget numbers, and we use the current year property valuations, and they had decided to do it this year and fund them all out of the countywide fire tax, everybody in the county's rate would have been 8.14 cents. All right? In addition to doing that, if they decide to do it, they got to make a decision. Do they want to, they need to make a decision to abolish the current fire service districts or set all those rates at zeros. And there's some reason why you would want to choose to go ahead and abolish, just for record keeping, keeping up with things. But they would abolish the current service districts, all right? And those service district lines would become strictly response district lines for the most part, all right? The exception being the Sylvan Valley 2 service district, which we have three different response districts within that district, all right? Again, they would utilize current service tax districts as part of the response district. That's important to note. Now, with that being said, if the commissioners did that this year, you take that same District A, and they had a $200,000 house, their rate would be 8.14 cents, and they would pay $162.80. That District B had that same house, the same ones we talked about earlier, they would pay 8.14 cents per 100, so they would pay 162.80. So you can see how what that does is across the county, every citizen would pay the same amount of fire tax based on their property valuation, based on what their property is valued at. So it provides consistency across the board. And again, this is using the estimate from the 2020 numbers. It's important to note that, all right? Now, part of this meeting is to take questions from you, to ask if you have any questions that you can ask us. We'd be glad to answer them. But we've also set up a email address right here and a phone number with an extension. If you want to email in a comment or a question, or if you want to call, one of us will call you back to answer your question after tonight. But any questions you have tonight, we're going to take up, answer them, and move from there. So, anybody got any questions? Do you have a card? Because what we're trying to do is get them all written down on a card. That way we can make sure we get that question to the commissioners.
Okay. I got it.
And I'm going to ask Paige to step up. That way if the question's related to commissioners, she can take that question. Anybody have any written down?
I don't know if I can write it
down. All right.
I will say that the part of the issue in looking at this was, as a county commissioner, we're charged by state statute to plan for the future of the county. And one of the struggles that I had as one commissioner was looking at the tremendous disparity we had from service district to service district. And when you're looking at an essential service such as fire, to me that falls under the same category as law enforcement and other public services. So seeing that, you know, one district is paying so little and then you've got a 16 cent swing potentially between districts seemed like an unfair burden on a community. And I think, you know, as we look at how do we plan for the future of this community with declining volunteerism, the need for more paid firefighters, we need to level the playing field across the county at this point. At least that's my personal opinion on this. And that's one of the conversations that we've had around this flat fire tax.
All right, is there any other tax that is inequitable in the same fashion as the fire tax rate? The only two taxes that the Transylvania County has is the ad valorem tax, which everybody in the county pays the same rate, and the fire tax, which currently in this fiscal year, everybody pays 5.5 cents, but in previous years, prior to this, before the commissioners made that decision, there was varying rates between. So the answer to that question is no. I'm not aware of anyone, any other that does that. The next question he had, shouldn't the fire tax be calculated the same way for all citizens, same as all other county taxes? And I think it says seems unfair to tax differently depending on location in the county. Again, My response to that is the commissioners have the options to look at, and that's what they're currently doing. And ultimately, as we go through this process, I'll follow their direction. If they tell me to prepare a report, I'll prepare that report, which gets put in the clerk's office for everybody to review, and then they hold a public hearing. Once they hold that public hearing, then it's up to them to make a decision on how they believe is the best practice for collecting fire taxes. And I know that they want to hear from you, so submit your comments and questions. Correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If Brevard and Rosman choose to abstain, can they do their own thing and remainder of the county become a single district? All right. You're talking about the city of Brevard and town of Rosman?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, what that is by statute, it requires that we ask them if they want to be included.
Right.
If they choose not to be included, we can include them in the service district. All right. Rosman has already adopted a resolution they want to be included, the town of Rosman. I anticipate that the city of Brevard will exclude themselves. And the reason for that is because their fire department is a department of the city. And so my guess is they'll continue to provide fire protection using their fire department as a department of the city, and then contract with the county like we're doing with them now to provide some services in the Sylvan Valley 2 district.
I guess that's kind of what the question I was asking, which is if citizens of the fire concerned about double taxation, if they kind of do their own thing and have the city and they're not part of the other outside service area that's outside the city, that seems like that's a talk.
That's correct. By them opting out, which is what I anticipate Brevard will do, they'll take care of their fire protection. And this, let me go ahead and explain to you. The Sylvan Valley 2 district, Brevard's, is basically a circle around Brevard, and we can go back to that. The Sylvan Valley 2 district is basically this circle that's around Brevard, all right? And the way it works is anything that's outside the city limits but within the Sylvan Valley 2 Brevard Fire Response District, the county contracts with the city of Brevard to provide fire protection in that area. All right. And so during the budget process, they do the same thing as every other fire department. They submit a budget. We review that budget. It goes to the commissioners. Commissioners decide, yes, we will approve this. And then we go back to the city and say, this is what we're willing to fund this year. And once we reach a total budget for Brevard Fire Department, we split the cost of that budget based on the property valuation in the city limits and the property valuation in the Sylvan Valley 2 district is the way we do it. I anticipate that even if the county goes with a countywide rate, if they do, that process will remain the same for Brevard, because if they exclude out, they would continue to provide fire protection within the city. They would continue to pay for that. All right. So does that answer your question?
Yep.
All right.
David, on that same note, if both Rob and Brevard opted out today, what would happen to 8.14 cents? Is that math been wrong?
If they both said we want to be included in the county, we want the county to fund fire protection. At that point, the county would not need to set up a countywide fire district. They would just fund everything out of the general fund because everybody's paying the same way. They could maybe do it, but I don't think they can, because the statute requires, when you read the statute, it says that it's not feasible to fund it countywide. And the reason it's not feasible to fund countywide is because City of Brevard is providing their own fire protection. So we're not within that area. So the county's looking at a fire protection district that basically excludes the city limits of Brevard. All right. Again, I don't foresee Brevard wanting to be included, because basically that's the city council would be giving up their authority to operate their fire department and fund it the way they want to fund it. And so I don't anticipate that would be the case. All right.
But
I think,
to Luther's point though, if Rosman opted out of being in this, you would lose the tax valuation of the town of Rosman alone. And then they would have to find the financing to support fire operations within the town of Rosman. So since the Rosman Fire Department is in the town of Rosman, you would expect that that would be who they would go to, but they would have to pay their portion separately as a single entity to the Rosamond Fire Department. If we wanted to provide county services, if the Fire Department of Rosamond decides to stay only within Rosamond, then you would be looking at expanding some of the other service lines to take in the space around the town of Rosamond. Just like if, for instance, we wanted to not work with, if the city of Brevard said we're tired of servicing Sylvan Valley 2 and we want to withdraw, then you'd be looking at the expansion of Conesty into the Sylvan Valley 2 district. You'd probably see some of Rosamond come in into the Sylvan Valley 2 district. So that's how that would work. But it, you know, financially, it's really not a realistic option for Rosamond at this point in time.
What does this do to current assets in the county? Transfers to other response districts, maintenance, other thing counties are doing, I think is what we're asking. I'll just go with the first part. What does this do to the current assets in the county? If they set up a countywide fire service district, then basically all fire protection within the county, excluding the city limits of Brevard, would be funded from that county fire tax, all right? It wouldn't affect the ad valorem tax. The ad valorem tax still would pay for all the other things that the county is required to pay for. And there's a whole long laundry list of things, recreation, EMS, rescue squad, whole long laundry list of what is paid for out of the county's ad valorem tax. Without funding from savings, what would be current flat tax rate? It answered 8.14, they wrote it on, okay. Has there been opposition to current funding method? If so, what are the concerns? There are some fire departments, actually predominantly, the fire departments are opposed to it. They've set a stance, they're opposed to it. All right. You would have to ask them what their opposition is. I don't want to speak for them. I don't want to say what it is. I'll let them tell you that themselves. But again, across the board in Transylvania County, for the most part, the fire departments themselves say they're opposed to it. All right, and again.
But it is a money issue as of now. Everybody's still got what they asked for.
Right, and again, I want to point out
the order of the process,
yeah.
And that's what's so important to understand. The budgets are approved before we consider setting a rate. So we are not changing anything about the budget process for the fire department. So each budget goes through the same process as it exists now, and it's just a matter of how we choose to fund it. And two districts like Coxaway and Sylvan Valley 2 would see an increase in their taxes. The other six districts would see a decrease in what they were paying previously, as you experienced in North Transylvania this year. But it is, I think it's really hard given the complexity of the discussion of service districts and service lines and everything else. But what actually we're talking about here is calculating, and the rate would change each year depending on what the fire departments are asking in their budgets. You can look at a long-term study of fire departments over the last 6 years. Your budget here has gone up, I know Toxaway's gone up $297,000 in 6 years, right? Balsam Grove has gone down $14,000 in the last 6 years. So it's still, the fire departments, their board of directors still determine their needs that's presented to the county, and then we will then calculate a rate. It could, if everybody's got what they need in a year, it might hold steady for 2 years. Or potentially it might drop a little bit if we don't need to do big stuff. If we're able to get some collective buy and save some money, it might go down by 1/100 of a cent or 1/10 of a cent. Then the next year it might jump by 2 cents, depending on what the fire departments actually need in their budgets. And it's the budget approval that determines how we then have to look at setting the rate.
All fire departments are against it, or just some fire departments?
All but one that I'm aware of, and I'll let one of the chiefs speak to it if they want to. I got two chiefs here tonight. But
I'm glad to speak to North Transylvania Board of Directors voting to support all the funding methods for fire service in the county.
have one other chief. I don't know if you want to speak.
The Chief Association of Rescue Departments in the East.
Is there a reason to be against it? I mean, is it, you don't think you're going to get your funding?
Well, from my standpoint, it'll cost my taxpayers a lot of money. But we're one of the departments that's got to put the bills. And as we go and continue through these meetings, we're going to follow along and listen to what people say.
If I read the next question,
there's like one or two districts I heard that are that actually paying more.
That's correct.
The rest would be less. And, but you're saying the other 11 or whatever they are, 10 or 11 of them are against it as well?
Well, there are eight departments, and Jason is against it, and the other one is, well, City of Barb can't say one way or another because the town can't like to do that. But there are six other entities against the platform.
What's their reason?
We'll have to talk to them individually and just follow us along as they go to these meetings. That's what we're doing.
Regardless of funding changes, will backup services be affected in any way, i.e. city versus non-city? No. Operationally, the county is not making any recommendation on changes operationally. The only thing that this is looking at is, once the commissioners approve the budgets, how do they pay for them? That's all that this changes is. It has nothing to do operationally. Once they approve budgets for fire departments, how do they pay for them, is what this is looking at.
And I think it would be an interesting conversation to figure out, do you want to continue to see the fire tax broken out as a specific separate tax, or do we just put it all in the ad valorem? Because, I mean, it's ad valorem anyway, so do we just go to an ad valorem tax that has fire operations within that? And that's certainly a way to...
I don't think I've ever lived anywhere where it's been separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, just as some background information, in North Carolina, throughout the county, there's a variety of way of doing it. Some counties use independent service districts. Some of them have rural fire protection districts. Some of them use a combination. Some of them funded out of general fund. Some of them have countywide rates. It varies throughout the 100 counties in North Carolina. So, all right, and so that was my point I was going to make. In the end, once we're done with all these meetings and the commissioners absorb all this information, they will get back to this same place right here, that once they approve fire budgets, these are their options for funding them. And so these meetings are intended to get information for citizens to share with the commissioners what you would like to see, and then at that time they can consider that and make a decision on this is how we're going to fund them. So, any other questions? Because that's all the cards I had.
There's no change in the independence of each of these fire departments. They are all contractual agents for Transylvania County. They're all independent 501c3 organizations with which we contract for service. So.
No. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
All the fire departments remain
the same.
Private, nonprofit entities. All of them have individual contracts with the county to provide fire protection in their response district. The only change is, how do the commissioners fund each of those contracts?
I understand the confusion because it's referring to this as a service district, when really and truly what we're talking about is a tax district. You know, and it's easy to conflate service, the service with the actual provision of the services. That's not what it is. It's a tax district. So what we would be doing is all of the fire department map would stay just the same as it is right now. Those are the fire department service areas. What would change is if you did an overlay of the tax district, then you would have a nice solid sheet all around with the donut hole of being the actual municipality of the city of Brevard. That would be the only piece that's missing. So everybody would be sort of the same color on the tax district. So service, the provision of services stays the same, structure of the fire department stays the same, it's just how we provide the funding to pay our contracts with those independent fire departments.
And is it possible that maybe some of the fire departments, board of directors, and don't really truly understand that, and that is the opposition, that they're fearful that they're going to lose their equity, their, what they've raised in hot dog suppers and over the years, because there's a huge history there.
Right.
And I don't blame them. I mean, that's hard work that people have done.
To build these ones. Right.
But you're not, nobody's saying you're going to take that away. It's just,
and we're not touching,
your funding.
We're not touching the hot dog dinners.
Okay? No, I know, that's what I'm saying.
But that's important, Luther, because you're talking about an auxiliary or independent fundraisers. That remains with the fire departments. Fire departments in the past, some of our fire departments have chosen to add that into their budgets and count that for funding to spend on equipment or other things. We are not.
That should be over and above for that.
It should be, absolutely. Right. And that is absolutely my personal position on that. Any fundraisers done within the districts, that should be money controlled exclusively and totally by the fire district, and we should not have any say in how that money is spent.
Absolutely.
That is the community supporting their fire department. What we're supporting is what it takes to provide the service that meets the state standards, that maintains the insurance rating that you all want to see. That's what the county is seeking to fund here.
On an annual basis.
And it, you know, it is hard. Right. And you are, I am struggling to understand the profound opposition. At our last meeting, I did hear from one gentleman that, you know, if the fire departments are all a family, and if one person's opposed to it, they're all opposed to it. And I actually pushed back. I said, well, if you're all family, if one's struggling, why are we not coming together to support those ones that are struggling? And it's not just one struggling anymore, as you see with those numbers. You see what it took out of the general fund, out of our reserve fund, to support everybody this year. We had a suggestion at the chief's meeting to set a cap of fire tax at 14 cents, which is what you all fell under last fiscal year. We capped it at 14, and then we funded out of reserves to the 160 last year to support North Transylvania. If you cap it at 14 cents, if you look at that sheet, we would have had three districts essentially hitting that this year. I mean, we are all going, every district is going to hit that mark at some point. So it's like, when you look in terms of providing for the future of Transylvania County, knowing the challenges with volunteerism, knowing the requirements of the state insurance ratings, knowing what is ahead of us as we expand, as we see growth in this community, what has worked for 40 years will not continue to work well for us, no matter how we try to couch it. And that's my personal, as one county commissioner, opinion. You know, you can watch the conversation with the board and come join us for that conversation. But I just feel very strongly that if we're going to take care of the future of this county, we have got to look at more equity in how we are collecting funding for fire departments.
I'll say one thing to speak to the commissioners. This is not part of the required process. The eight different meetings that we're going around the county and having, that's not in the general statute. That's not required. The commissioner said, no, staff go out, present, get input from citizens because we want to hear input. So, I mean, that speaks volumes about the commissioners and them wanting to hear from the citizens. What's required in the process is that the commissioners direct me, after considering some specific items that are listed in the statute, to write a report, put that report on file in the clerk's office, wait 30 days, hold a public hearing, and vote. And so these additional eight meetings go way above and beyond what the requirements are of the commissioners to collect input from the citizens. And I think that's important because that's a good, that's a positive thing for our commissioners to do that. One other thing that I will add, in this particular scenario where we currently are, under 153A, where you establish a special tax district, a service district is what it's called in the statute, it's interesting to note that the county collects those taxes through a contract, gives those to the fire department, gives that money to the fire department. The fire department engages in building stations, buying trucks, buying turnout gear, things like that. Legally, all that equipment and stuff, buildings, belong to that fire department. All right. So legally, it belongs to that fire department. All right, it's a little bit different if it's a rural fire protection district. If it is a rural fire protection district, it changes a little bit in that it actually belongs to that district. And so there are a couple of changes in that, but it's important to note, that goes back to your question about if they own a fire truck, they basically get to make that decision because that truck belongs to that fire department. If their bylaws allows them to give it to somebody, they can give it to somebody. That doesn't go through the county. That's between those two departments. That clear that up a little bit? All right, good.
So how much transparency is there around the budget process? What I mean by that is, if there's opposition, and I'm trying to understand this,
sure.
If there's opposition around it, one of the things is you look at the list and you look at the difference in budget between the high and the low.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume, and I've done government contracts for years, I would assume that there is, in some people's minds, a question as to why have these budgets gone up, these have gone down? Why is there such disparity in budget?
Mm-hmm.
Has this been divided any other way to help put clarity around what's behind the numbers? And would that help clarify this issue and make it a little more balanced?
I brought this year's, if you, on the table is about an inch high stack, maybe a little higher than that, of the fire department budgets. So that's what I receive as a county commissioner before I go into our meeting to consider things. It's got reports on numbers of calls, it's got reports on your capital, what your reserve fund looks like, and all that kind of stuff. It's very informative, a lot to understand and digest. And I think you are speaking to some of the concerns about this potential funding change, because I've heard that, well, what's going to stop a fire department from really inflating their budget?
Right.
But you've got, in my personal opinion, as one county commissioner, you've got the Chiefs Association. I would expect that they're going to talk about some of those issues and how they work together to figure out how this needs to be shared across things. David has worked very carefully over several years to give specialty, seeing departments develop special strengths given where they are in the county. So it's hard because those of you who work in fire departments live and breathe this stuff. You really understand exactly what you need to provide this service. And when we were in Little River last week, it was fascinating. Half of the questions were really more about how my fire department operates, more so than it was about the tax. And I know that it's a real struggle to try to educate your citizens on what you all are doing, how you do it, and what your needs are. So, I'd love to figure out a way to get people to turn out. I mean, look at this. We've got wonderful people from North Transylvania Fire. We've got one, two... How many actual citizens not serving on the fire department?
One.
Okay. Two, three, four. We've got five citizens here.
Right.
So that's our challenge.
To get to your question, there's a lot of things that drive the cost of fire protection. All right. What trucks you need. For example, up in Lake Toxaway, they need a ladder truck because of the rating and what they're, because they have very large homes and stuff like that, which requires a ladder truck. So that's an additional expense that they might have that somebody else doesn't have. All right. Your call volume might drive the number of paid staff you had to have. That would drive what your costs are versus a department that has a real low call volume. your accessibility to volunteers. Some departments may not be as blessed with volunteers as others do. That would drive the cost of fire protection. There's a lot of things that drive it. Now, I say that, and everybody nods their head, but I'm going to say this as well. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens, what really drives the cost of fire protection, is property valuation. All right? Accessibility to revenue. So if you have a really high property valuation, you might have a really high budget because you can have a low tax rate, collect a lot of money. And so access to revenue drives what you have sometimes more than what your actual needs are. All right. Again, I'm not pointing out, I'm saying across the board in North Carolina, there's lots of conversations that would say sometimes your property valuation, if you have a real high property valuation, you have a high rate, and if you are a low rate, and you'll notice the numbers when they say it kind of looks like that. Again, I'm not saying that we have fire departments that are starting with, this is my tax rate, so I have this much money, so I need to work my budget backward. I'm not saying we have fire departments in Transylvania County do that, but I am aware of some across North Carolina that operate that way. All right, they do operate that way. Now, what the county is saying, even in the way we do it today, is don't start with what your property valuation is. Don't start with what your rate is. Start with what your needs are. What do you need to provide adequate fire protection in your district? All right? And then start with your needs, build your budget, and justify your needs. And then let the commissioners decide how we're going to fund what your needs are. All right, so that's important. Again, lots of things drive fire protection costs. One thing is also important to note. There is a base minimum cost of fire protection. Now that ain't a number. I can't tell you it costs $200,000 to run a fire department. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that if you're gonna operate a fire department, you gotta have one pumper, you gotta have one tanker, you gotta have some turnout gear, you gotta have some volunteers. And so there is a base minimum cost to get what you have to operate the most basic fire department. All right. And what I do know is that cost is going up. The cost of operating just that minimum fire department, that cost is going up because the cost of pumpers, cost of tankers, cost of turnout gear. You want to see something that's exploded, turnout gear, SCBAs, y'all know they've exploded in cost. And so there is that base cost, all right, that regardless, if you got just the basic 9S insurance rated fire department, one engine, there's gonna be a base level cost that you're gonna pay for that. All right, any additional questions?
Clarification, my attention. I still have a truck. We've not purchased a new truck since 2014. We were able to lower our rating to a 4 with the existing trucks we had since 2014. So the dollar amount doesn't drive the budget. And we look at rating numbers, look at Toxway's number, and their ratings are 5 for that amount of money, and we look at North Pennsylvania's number, their ratings are 4 for their number. So the dollar amount is not driving the budget and what the departments are not.
In that conversation, one thing I would tell you is you can't conflate your budget and your rating. Because there are many, many things that affect your rating. I'll go back to one here. Look at the size of North Transylvania and the size of Lake Coffs Lake. That coverage area, road miles, affects your rating. Access to water affects your rating. Maybe there's a lot of access to water here, maybe there's not here. All right. Your equipment affects your rating. There's lots of things that affect your rating, not just that one item. And so your budget doesn't drive your rating, all right? And then the other thing you have to be very careful with, very important to note, when you're talking about ratings, you need to understand that for a residential property, a rating below a 6, and for those, I wanna make sure you understand, we're talking about fire insurance ratings. So when you pay your insurance, you pay this amount of money based on what your insurance rate is. A rating below a 6 really doesn't help most residential properties, it doesn't help them. And so if you have a district and you're predominantly residential, to spend additional dollars to drop to a rating of a 4 wouldn't make any sense. Now, you may get to a 4, But what I would tell you is, if you're spending, if it costs you extra dollars to go from a four, a six to a four, then you need to consider, is this beneficial for my district or not? And again, we have those conversations with the fire department. We talk about that stuff. And again, because it's important. It's important for our citizens, because we don't want them spending money on lowering the insurance rate when there's no benefit to the citizens. All right. Did you have a question back there?
Yeah, to Paige's point earlier, there was a handful of citizens here, a lot of firefighters, and we love you guys, and particularly the volunteers who don't have a lot of time. But I'm struggling to understand, did I hear there were six fire districts, five fire districts whose tax rate would go down in this scenario?
Six.
Mm-hmm. And only two of them support that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I should stop the working. I apologize.
Well, I may get this wrong. Probably somehow. I'm just struggling to understand why the fire departments would really have an interest in how they get funded. Because to me, it seems the whole question is, how do we fund fire departments? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to bring us a budget. Is this going to improve, disapprove, adjust, whatever? But is there kind of a general fear in the fire departments that, oh, if the rate, if how we fund it changes, then we're going to get a smaller budget? I mean, are you guys sensing that?
I can tell you some of the things that I've heard. That's all I can tell you. One is, I had one tell me, well, if I just have the rate in my district, then what I do at my fire department is going to affect what that rate, but if you spread it out countywide, what's to keep that other fire department from asking for 10 paid staff and getting it funded? That's one concern that they have.
Still goes to the same process.
Still goes to the same process, but I'm just listening to concerns that they have. Another is, goes to the point of how you actually arrive at what the budget is. Some fear, and they've said to me, well, there's a pot of money and we're going to be fussing over a pot of money. Again, my point to that is, no, we're not backing into the budgets. The commissioners don't set a fire tax rate, and then we back in and say, that's how much money we can collect, so we got to divide it amongst everybody. That's not the route to go. That's not what you would want to do. That would be doing what I would be totally opposed to, looking at your property valuation and determining what you can fund based on that. The way you should fund it is, you submit your budget based on your needs. Once the commissioners approve your budgets, then they set the rate to collect that. So that's another concern that I've heard from them, is that there's this pot of money. But again, those are two of the ones that I've heard. They're welcome to speak up to others, but those are the ones I've heard from the fire departments.
Well, and the other, I mean, I've heard the concern that, you know, it's not fair for one district to take money away from one district and send it to another district.
And I can understand the citizens of that district opposing that. Mm-hmm. But I don't really understand, as Steve said, the fire departments, with the exception of this is change in the fear of the future and how does this affect my funding. But I guess on the other side of that coin, and God forgive me, North Transylvania, it's not aimed at you, but that seems to be an issue in cost right now and where we live. And of course, I don't want that to continue to climb as an individual citizen in that district. But worse, I don't want to be without fire protection. So what if the economy of scale, whatever drives this 23-cent need that we're currently seeing today, what if it continues to grow and the economy of scale just crushes it and North Transylvania Fire Department goes away for whatever reason? And I'm not suggesting that's happening. But if it does, how do we get fire protection? Then it's going to have to be absorbed back into the Little River or whoever, and does that not just run the cost even higher? Certainly our response time would go down, all of the above, but it seems to me that having the districts as they're laid out has to be one of the most affordable methods of providing to all Transylvania citizens.
Well, I think to your point, Luther, this is a conversation about the future. This is a recognition that we have had a great system in Transylvania County, We have had dedicated service. We have innovative fire departments who have worked very hard to provide this service to our citizens. Hands down, no doubt. But this is a conversation about the future. And it's, you know, sort of pay now or pay later. We're going to have to do something different because you are talking about an unbearable burden for citizens. And it's, you know, if you look at what the 14-cent cap again, I mean, you all are there, Roslyn's there already, Cedar Mount's at 13.72, Boston Grove's already at 11.12, and we know that Boston Grove, for example, doesn't even ask for stuff because they don't want to put any kind of burden on their citizen. Little River is at 10.06. So the wall is going to be hit by quite a few, by the majority of our departments in a very short period of time. So why can't we start having this conversation now and have a productive solution to take care of this in as equitable a manner as possible? And yes, in the community, will some of us pay, you know, maybe potentially more of our fair share if you want to look at it that way? But really, it's about supporting the community where you live and what is best for the whole. And I think that's the conversation that I want to keep having, is what is best for the whole. And I think I mentioned earlier, you know, that you can't just start not paying for schools, because vibrant schools are part of a vibrant community. You may not use the schools, you may be way past the schools, what have you, but we as a community say we value our schools, so we all contribute to our schools. We all value the essential service of fire protection. Therefore, we should all contribute equally to providing that service for our county.
We've talked a ton about cost. We haven't talked anything about revenue. Has anyone talked within the commission about how this affects revenue coming into the county? For example, I'm in real estate. I deal with buyers from all over the country. I rarely deal with someone who's moving next door.
Sure.
They ask about taxes. Mm-hmm. And then I've got to explain the difference between Brevard and the county and so forth. Mm-hmm. I get into the fire department, it looks like we're nuts. So, here's where I'm coming from. If you had it spread across, and another better, if you had it into the ad valorem tax, that's more like what most people are used to coming from out of state. Mm-hmm. It makes it simpler to communicate. They find the perfect home in northern Transylvania County, but all of a sudden they're comparing the fire tax to Coniston. And they go, oh, well, I love that house, but I'm gonna move to this house in Henderson County instead of Transylvania. Now we've lost that tax base. Mm-hmm. Did anyone ever talk from that perspective with this thing?
I think we're mindful of it, but it's not.
I realize the focus is on the cost, but at the same time, you try to avoid setting up a system that can be an inhibitor from
sure.
increasing
Which,
your revenues.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, remind you that we are in the bottom third of the state in our tax rate, even with the 20% increase that we've done this year. You know, this is a very favorable tax county. But it's interesting, once people get here, they seem to forget where they came from,
right.
You know, on taxes.
Right.
But no, I understand what you're saying, and I think it is a consideration. But the conversation that I have had with my fellow commissioners is really about equity among our citizens.
Right, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, the more equity can also, the other benefit to the equity can be the simplicity mm-hmm. that makes the language easier to communicate to someone
sure.
who's considering moving into our county.
Sure.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Right, and that's absolutely an option that we can
yeah.
use. And, you know, North Carolina is what's called a Dillon Rule state. So the reason that our choices are so limited is because we can only do that which the legislature has allowed us to do.
That's
it. And so, you know, if you have this wonderful solution that you experienced in another state that you know work, you know, we can't touch it. You know, these are the only choices that we have in front of us.
Any other questions? Well, what we did at the last meeting, we're going to do it here too. Just we do have Scott Justice over here. I think Kevin's going to be over here, and Gerald is right up here. And I'm going to be be at the front with Paige. If you have any additional questions, just want to talk after the meeting. We're going to hang around for a while to facilitate as many questions as we can. All right? But we appreciate your time. And the one thing I would remind you of is to write this down because, because that's the way the input will get to the commissioners. You want input to get to the commissioners, we're going to make sure it gets to them. All right? Thank you.